You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
All right. So although you may have some opposition to it, is there anything about your views that you think would prevent or substantially impair your ability to serve as a juror and follow the court's instructions, even if that included that you must consider the death penalty, if that were provided in an instruction?
I don't think there's anything that would impede my ability to take the instructions.
Very well. Thanks for your responses. That concludes my voir dire on the subject. Does the state have any voir dire?
Yes, Your Honor. So, ma'am, again, now considering your status as a licensed psychologist when thinking about the death penalty, and I don't pretend to know the answer to this question, is there any possibility or likelihood that a decision to impose a death penalty would have any ethical implications for your licensure with a psychologist? Is there anything out there like that that you might later discover be an issue?
Not for the APA ethics code or the FOC rules.
So as you sit there, you don't feel like there would be any inhibition at all in that regard?
Not.
Do you feel like there'd be any inhibition in any regard?
I don't think so.
When you said that you recognize that the death penalty is legal, but you're not a big fan, can you just be a little bit more specific about that position, actually?
Sure. Morally, I think that there are some issues with the death penalty in general, but I also don't get to make that decision. So if I was in a position where I'm sitting in a case and that is part of what I'm being asked to evaluate, if that's part of the penalty, that's part of the penalty.
And so, with respect, again, to determining either guilt or punishment with Mr. Daybell, and if you were to receive an instruction from the court at some point in the trial that mental illness is not a defense, and I know, but you were to perceive that Mr. Daybell did have some likely mental impairment, would that impact your decision then to either find guilt or to be disinclined to impose the death penalty?
I don't think that, again, trying to follow instructions, right? That if that is not a defense, I wouldn't hold that into account.
Okay. So you're assuring us, the court today, that even though you have these moral reservations about the death penalty and these potential biases for your professional status, that you would set all that aside and that you would listen to the instructions given by the court, consider the facts, and then apply the law. And even if that's completely against your own moral base of taking someone's life. So I'll ask this, as you look at the defendant today sitting here, if you were put in that position, if there is a finding of guilt and you're sitting in a jury room, considering the evidence and deciding whether or not the death penalty should be imposed, and you're morally opposed to it, you could render a decision to take Mr. Daybell's life.
Yes, if that's what we've been instructed to do, then there's evidence, and yes.
Okay. Thank you. No, I don't have any more questions.
No questions, Judge.
All right, that'll conclude the individual voir dire then for this juror. Thank you again for coming back, and we'll have you return with further instructions waiting from the marshal or our remaining jurors. Okay, our next juror will be 250. All right, welcome back, juror 250. If you'll give me just a moment, I was briefly reviewing the questionnaire. You may have already mentioned this. If you did, well, you did hold your card up that you had some knowledge of the case, and also did have some concern in your questionnaire about amount of work PTO, but I think you clarified that and have more information. Could you just reiterate that, please?
Sure. Do you want to start on the information that...
Yeah, in terms of your PTO.
Oh, that. So I thought, well, I do have 3 weeks of PTO, but it's irrelevant because my organization will cover the entire jury, or sorry, I don't know how
the time of service.
Yes.
Okay. I don't think there's any issue then. Otherwise, you related as to hardship requiring additional board hire at this point. There was an indication, though, on your issue card that you know something about the case, so I'll just allow the state to make any inquiry as to whether or not there's bias, and then we'll allow the defense after that. So any questions from the state?
Actually, Your Honor, I did have one question regarding some health concerns that this potential juror referenced about not hearing or seeing things or hearing things at certain frequencies. Is that something we could chat about? Would you rather talk about that privately?
Sure, go ahead, Your
Honor. Oh, thank you, sir. So some of the evidence that's going to be admitted in this case will be audio or video. Do you anticipate that that would be a problem for you?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Well, as long as I could play or maybe turn the volume up, thanks. But I'm sure it'd be fine.
And I think we can make those arrangements to turn the volume up.
Okay. We do have ways to make accommodations. If that's an issue, I mean, it should be similar to how we're doing today in terms of volume, what you'd be listening to, but we can certainly make accommodations if needed to for vision or hearing. So you can continue, Ms. Beatty.
Thank you, Your Honor. In your questionnaire, you talked about a class that you took. Is that something you're comfortable talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. A psych class?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about that situation?
The first one or
the first one? I think that's the one that kind of
ask anybody to take down this match and not have to read it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry about that. Can you talk a little bit about the first class?
Yeah. So going to CW, it just is like needing core classes to go along with, you know, your actual course. And psych was one of them that I picked. And every time I went in there, he seemed to know everything about everyone. He seemed really pompous. He would talk about how humans are so easy to predict. And it didn't sit well with me, but his view on everything. It got to the point where I pay attention to a lot. So I knew that he drank like a 12-ounce sugar-free Red Bull, and it was always hidden behind his podium. And so when he made a comment like that, I said that, hey, you have a sugar-free 12-ounce Red Bull behind you. And so, but I wound up failing that one because every time, at the end of the week, I think it was, you had to go on your online Blackboard, and he would want you to tell him different ways about how God doesn't exist. And I didn't think it was appropriate for the course, so I opted out of it, and I wound up failing that.
Okay. So you felt like you were put in a position, or did you, I should say, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but did you feel like you were put in a position where you had to compromise your morals?
I'm not going to compromise my morals, but.
Did you feel like he put you in that position?
Like if I wanted to pass the class, I needed to. Yeah, that's how I felt.
Sure. Okay. Understandable. So this is a very different situation that you're in here. But you are going to be given some jury instructions, and those jury instructions will basically lay out the elements and the weight that you're to give to the evidence. They'll lay out the fact that Mr. Daybell is presumed innocent until the state proves that he's guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And then I guess I won't get into that at this point, the death penalty part. I think the court will address that. But are you comfortable with following those instructions?
I'm absolutely comfortable with that. And I do believe that, like I said, until proven guilty. So I'm completely behind it. I can separate.
Of course. And if there was some aspect of the law or one of the offenses that just didn't sit well with you and you really disagreed with it, would you find him not guilty on principle, or would you find him guilty on principle?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Sorry. I did a terrible job asking that question, actually. So if you either felt strongly that Mr. Daybell was guilty or shouldn't be guilty or should be guilty, but that didn't really comport with the instructions, would you disregard those instructions?
first off, I wouldn't disregard any instruction, but can you define feel that? Is it like
sure? Yes. So if you just if you felt in your gut that the law should be different, like you looked at the instructions and you understood what the evidence was, but you felt, you know, I just don't, I don't like the way this law is written. I think that it should require that the state prove more, or I don't think that the state should have to prove that much, or, you know, I don't feel like the state met its burden of proof here, but I also really just feel like he's guilty. So even though the law doesn't really allow that, I'm going to convict him or alternatively acquit him based on my own beliefs rather than the evidence.
No, I would follow the instruction of the law.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. And I'm sorry to intrude into those questions, but I really appreciate your honesty. Thank you. I have no additional questions. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Pryor, for the defense.
Just one area that, that piques my interest. And do you have a copy of your questionnaire, sir?
Yes.
Would you go to the top of page 10? And I'm looking at number 11. It says, do you have any opinions about law enforcement officers that might affect your impartiality or ability to evaluate the testimony of an officer? And you marked yes. Do you see that?
I do.
Can you talk to me a little bit about why you marked yes?
Well, I'd have to structure my thought on this. Give me a second.
Okay.
I don't know that this applies to Idaho officers, as I stated in the beginning of my response there. But I have seen other states online where police officers will lie to protect their own or turn off their body cams or go through with something. So it's kind of a middle ground. I'm not sure how to answer that. That's why I said yes, because it, there is a little bit of bias on other videos that I've seen that would be in the back of my head. But I have had so many interactions with police officers in this state, and every one of them has been positive.
Right.
So I don't feel that way here.
Not here.
Yes.
But if you hear testimony about videos being turned off or no recordings, is that going to pique a concern for you?
I mean, I don't think that they should ever turn off their body cam while they're in the middle of something. So that it would pique some sort of a concern.
But you don't think that unless you see that sort of situation, that you have a negative opinion of police officers?
On the whole, I don't have a negative opinion.
Okay, and that's all I was seeking, is that you're not going to prejudge a police officer just because he's a police officer.
Yeah.
Okay, Judge, that's all I have. Thank you.
All right, thanks for the responses on those sections. The next issue I want to discuss then, Juror 250, relates to your questionnaire and the section you filled out called Attitudes Regarding the Death Penalty. Do you remember reading through those questions and answering those questions?
Yes.
And having now thought about it for a few days since you filled the questionnaire out, are the answers you made in the questionnaire still the way you feel today?
What page was that on?
It starts on page 12 and goes 12 and 13.
I'd like to confirm. Number 5 on page 13?
Yes.
Well, I didn't quite understand what would bring a death penalty to someone. So that one, being that everyone can change, if somebody was found to have murdered someone, obviously there's law that needs to be followed. So there should be consequences for it. So that's my only alteration. Everything else is accurate.
Okay, and thank you for taking the time to review it. I'll have some more questions about it. Let me preface that and let you know that it may be necessary for you in this case to make a determination in regard to the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty. And as you're thinking about that and considering it, you have to consider it as if it would be done in absolute and carried out in the case. So if that's where you are approaching, the way you think about it. The first question that I'll just ask you about in your questionnaire was whether or not you support or oppose the death penalty, and you check the box saying you support it. So is that still the way you feel?
Yes.
Okay. Another answer you provided was part D on page 13, question 6. You had seven choices there about what best represents how you feel and about the death penalty. You said, I'm generally opposed to the death penalty, but I believe I can put aside my feelings against the death penalty and impose it if it is called for by the facts, laws, and instructions in the case. Does that still accurately represent your thoughts on the issue?
Well, I suppose in a way, but it would contradict my change to five. The death penalty would be justified.
All right. And so I can tell you have thought about it. You selected an instruction saying you would follow the facts, the law, and the instructions the court provided. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. So is there anything about your view on the death penalty that you think would prevent or substantially impair you from serving as a juror in this case if I were to give you instructions about the death penalty here?
I have no objection to it. I had never had a thought in my life about it, honestly. I just know that bad people would have penalties.
All right. And what I'll finally ask you then is, would you be of the opinion that it's going to be appropriate in every case where there's been a murder, or should automatically be considered if there's been a murder committed?
Can you ask that again, please?
Would you be in favor of the death penalty in every case where a murder has been committed?
It's hard for me to answer that because by who? I mean, that's really hard. You'd have to look at the evidence.
All right. So going back to your previous response then, you are indicating you will follow the law, facts, and instructions in this case if you are provided those.
Yes.
All right. That concludes the court's voir dire for this juror. Does the state have any voir dire?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. Thank you very much.
No questions, Judge. Thanks.
Okay, juror number 250, that concludes our individual voir dire. You can return, please, with the bailiff. We'll get through the rest of the jurors and then give you further instructions. Next up will be juror 438. All right, juror number 438 has returned. There's a couple of issues in the questionnaire we just want to address with you individually, both relating to prior case knowledge as well as I know you talked about or requested a hardship for some travel plans you had, but also expressed a desire to perform your civic duty, which we appreciate. I think where I'd like to begin then with this particular juror is just some questions about your prior knowledge of this case or any related case. You did, in your questionnaire, have a response about someone being tried and convicted and being tried, I believe, in Arizona and here without other jurors present. If you could just explain in some detail what you know about that and what information you have.
It's just what I've heard on the local news as of late, that Lori was going to Arizona for a second set of trials. I don't know all the details of it, but that's all I really heard.
Okay. And I noted, because the response was in a question talking about some other individuals, but when you say Lori, who are you referring to?
Lori Abel.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that point, and I'll have the attorneys at this point do their voir dire, beginning with the state, who will be doing that.
I will, Your Honor.
Mr. Wood, if you'd like to inquire as to any potential bias, and you can go into hardship as well.
Okay. Just going off what the judge just spoke with you about, it sounds like you're aware that Lori Bell or Lori Dago was convicted in Idaho. Did you follow the case or closely? Do you know any of the details of what she was convicted for?
No, I didn't know.
So your knowledge is just limited to the fact that she was convicted of something.
Correct.
And you understand, do you understand that this defendant has an absolute right to a presumption of innocence? And would you in any way hold the fact that she was convicted of something against him?
No.
So even knowing that, you can set that aside and give him an absolutely clean slate to begin with?
Yes, I can.
You did mention the hardship.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
I want an incentive at work. I'm a diehard Detroit Lions fan, born and raised in Michigan. The draft is only going to be in Detroit one time for the rest of my life. So I put it on there since coming to grips with everything, I somewhat have come to peace that I may not be able to go, that this would be a priority over that.
Okay.
My brother's going to make out really well.
I was just going to ask, do you have someone you can give that to and feel good about that, or at least okay about it?
He feels good about it.
and I don't want to make light of the situation at all. Do you think, will that in any way affect your ability to give both sides of this trial a fair trial?
No, because the first and second and third round are all prime time. So I would like to think I'm going to be higher.
Okay. I'd like to speak with you for just a moment about some things you put on your questionnaire on page 9. And if you can turn to that, and then if you can just look at that and let us know if that's something you sort of talk about in private.
Yes, we'll talk about that in private.
Your Honor, I wonder if we can speak about these issues in camera or have the public
excuse for this portion. Let me just briefly sidebar with counsel and see. All right, counsel, with this particular juror, we've got one other juror also that has some more personal matters we want to discuss outside the presence of the public. So we are going to suspend for that time frame the broadcasting of the proceedings, as well as clear the courtroom of everyone except required and necessary personnel to remain on the record and discuss matters that to which these jurors are entitled to their privacy. So I'm going to request that our marshals do clear the courtroom. If the clerk sees the broadcast at this point, and we will come back on the record with additional voir dire publicly once we've concluded that with these two jurors. So marshals, if you please take care of that now. Anyone without a break?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Let's have juror 512 return. All right, juror number 512, thank you for returning. This will be the time for your individual voir dire. I know it's been a long afternoon. Thank you for hanging in there with us. We wanted to address a few more topics outside the presence of the jurors. At this time, I don't know that I saw anything I thought needed to go to voir dire on for hardship or bias. Does the state have any questions on either of those two topics?
Just a couple of quick ones, I hope, Connor. Now, I just want to go to the hardship section of your questionnaire. And these are probably very fast questions, but you had noted that you were concerned about your daughter having a knee surgery, your availability to take care of her children. Is that not a concern anymore?
It's a possibility, but at the rate that the doctors are moving towards that, I'm betting that we can make arrangements. We'll have another advance warning.
So you feel comfortable there won't be any kind of hardship?
I think so.
And then you also mentioned some personal doctor's appointments that
you're
sorry, could you ask the question?
You also just mentioned some personal doctor's appointments, but those are okay now?
Yes, those are just checkups, and then I can move those. But we will need to be done before July 15th.
Okay, is that the trip to Europe?
Yes.
Okay. Is that a prepaid trip by any chance? Or?
I paid for it already, if that's what you're asking. Yes.
I don't think anyone's projecting this trial will go that far. Thanks for letting us know. No, I don't have any more questions.
No questions, Josh.
All right, thank you. So juror number 512, the next issue we're going to discuss with you relates to your attitudes regarding the death penalty, and that is contained in your questionnaire starting on page 12. Do you recall reading through those questions about the death penalty and answering them in the questionnaire?
Mm-hmm.
All right. As you sit here today now with some time having passed since you filled it out, you still feel the same way, and are your answers accurate?
I think so. I think it's the same. I've thought about it frequently, up and on over the decades.
Okay.
And
So when we think about it, it's generally hypothetically, we're in a different situation here. In this case, it may be necessary for you to actually make a determination in regard to the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty. So remember, when you're thinking about that in answering these questions, any penalty you consider should be done as if it is absolute and will be carried out in the case. You understand that?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
I think I wrote in here, but just to make sure that you understand that I know that there are guidelines and rules that establish that as an option. And that's what I feel comfortable following, guidelines and rules. Okay, so it would go past my personal feelings.
Okay.
And be based upon those things that you would address to sort them.
All right, you are kind of tracking right along with where my questions would go. So I appreciate your responses there. So I'll just note that when you were asked if you support or oppose the death penalty and only given those two choices, you said support. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And then when there was a little more detail in an answer, there were seven choices you had about what most accurately represents the way you feel. You selected a choice that says, I'm generally opposed to the death penalty, but I believe I can put aside my feelings against the death penalty and impose it if it is called for by the facts, law, and instructions in the case. So does that still accurately represent the way you feel? Okay. So given your choices then, would you be in favor of the death penalty in every case where a murder has been committed?
No.
All right. Is there anything about your views on the death penalty that would prevent or substantially impair you, you think, from serving as a juror here and following the court's instructions?
Don't think so.
All right. So going back to your response in Part D, you would be willing to follow the court's instructions on the death penalty, whether that was that you should consider it or you should not, or anything else the court instructed on that topic.
Can you repeat the question just to make sure I got it?
Yes. Are you willing to follow all the instructions once you receive the facts in this case?
Yes.
All right, that would conclude the court's voir dire for this particular juror on that topic. Anything from the state?
No, Your Honor.
Nothing from the defense.
All right, thank you for completing a question and coming back. We've got one more juror to talk to individually, and then we'll have you return here shortly. All right, final juror we'll discuss voir dire on individually is 537. Does the state intend to ask any questions on bias or hardship?
The state does not, Your Honor.
Defense does not.
Okay, thanks, counsel. I'll just put that on the record now that the parties pass additional voir dire on 537 on hardship or bias questions, and the court will inquire as it relates to the death penalty issue. All right, juror number 537, thank you for returning. You're the final person we're talking to in this group, so thank you for your patience today. We've reviewed your questionnaire, and there's just one final topic we would like to address with you individually, and that is as it relates to your answers on attitudes regarding the death penalty. Do you recall reading through that section of the questionnaire and answering those questions?
Yes, I don't remember exactly what my answers were, but I have it in front of me. Got it?
Okay, it may be helpful for you to reference it while we discuss it. So if you do have a copy there, you turn to page 12. All right. So when answering the questionnaire, it might have just been a concept to you, but at this stage, I want to advise you that it may be necessary for you to make a determination in regard to the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty. And when you're considering that, consider that any penalty you're thinking about could be done and absolute and carried out in the case, or consider that it would be done, I should say, and absolute and carried out in the case. So you were given a choice on page 12 about whether you support or oppose the death penalty, and you didn't like having only two options, so you made the third option and said neither. Can you explain your thoughts in answering that question?
Well, when I said neither, I am not strongly for it or strongly opposed. I know there's a huge arc in terms of what you believe and what you think you can do, can't do. I don't have a really strong opinion. Do I believe that it's okay? Is it reasonable? I do believe that it's a reasonable consequence. I don't oppose it, as in I don't think that it's, I would never stand up against it and say that's absolutely unthinkable. We should never have that as a consequence, because there are going to be some cases where that's just what happens.
Okay, and I appreciate your comments on that. If you look at page 13, you listed some other thoughts there also. I'm just looking at your responses on number 6, and it looks like you maybe vacillated back and forth between C and D choices and ultimately went with D. But you had 7 options about what most accurately represents the way you feel. And where you landed is, I am generally opposed to the death penalty, but I believe I can put aside my feelings against the death penalty and impose it if it is called for by the facts, law, and instructions in the case. Considering that, then, is that still your attitude towards it today?
I still feel like I'm maybe in between both C and D. I understand that it is and can be a consequence to some actions, but I'm not, again, I can see that there would be cause for it. I know that it is a legal option, I know that it is a consequence, but I don't think I don't have any preconceived notion of whether or not that's good or bad, whether I'm opposed or for it.
Okay. Part of that instruction that I'm looking at, not instruction, I'm sorry, the choice was, would you follow the facts, law, and instructions given to you in the case? Is that?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I can tell you've thought through the topic quite a bit, and let me just ask you a final question. Would anything about your views on the death penalty you think prevent or substantially impair you from serving in this case and following the court's instructions as it relates to the death penalty, regardless of what those instructions may be?
Absolutely not. I would follow the instructions based upon exactly what I was given.
All right, that will conclude the court's voir dire on the topic. With this juror, does the state have any questions?
I don't, Your Honor. Thank you.
No questions from the defense judge. Thank you.
All right, juror 537 then. That concludes our individual voir dire. If you'll give us just a moment, I'll have you return with the other jurors and we'll bring you back into the courtroom for one more brief instruction, and then we'll be hooded for the day. All right, you can have the rest of the jurors about that.
All right, great.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you are returning now. We went through the individual voir dire. This concludes voir dire for this group. In order to make sure everyone's charts are lining up with who's still here and who's not, you do us a favor, and those remaining jurors, please raise your red card and just hold that up here for a few moments while everybody's allowed to take their notes. All right, with that, you can go ahead and put those down. I'll ask, now that that's been confirmed, does the state pass the small group for cause?
Yes, Your Honor.
Does the defense pass for cause?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you have been passed for cause. We're continuing to question these groups of jurors until we reach the necessary number of jurors for the attorneys to exercise their peremptory challenges. You'll be instructed to contact our jury commissioner, Randy Rutland, who's going to provide you further instructions about when he will be returning, and there will be a time you'll return. While you're waiting for that, please remember to follow the court's instruction to not investigate this case, look the case up, go and find information on the case. If you happen to see anything being reported about it passively through news, et cetera, try to make an effort to not listen in so that we can keep you as impartial as you are at this time, and also avoid talking to anyone about the details of the case. As it comes to the topic of discussing when you may serve and that you may serve, of course, that's okay to talk about with friends, family, 1116, et cetera, but just refrain from discussing any detail or fact of the case. And with that, we appreciate your continued service. You'll be advised when to return, and we'll see you back whenever that takes place. So with that, are we okay to conclude for the day with this group from the state?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
From the defense, Your Honor. All right. Thanks all for your time. Please rise for the jury.
Come this witness.
All right. Well, we'll be in recess for the day, counsel. We're intending to follow that same schedule tomorrow with a group at 8:30, another at 1:30. Is that acceptable for the state?
Yes, Your Honor.
For the defense?
Yes, Your Honor.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.